On this day of the Festival of the Reformation, we hear our scripture reading taken from the book of Hebrews. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In recent years, United States Olympic relay teams have been heavily criticized for literally dropping the baton. It has caused them to lose many races in the last few Olympics. Track coaches who work with relay teams, maybe some of you have been on them, I was never fast enough, but track coaches who work with relay teams know how absolutely important and crucial that handoff is from one runner to the next. That transfer is so important. In the text before us, our Lord, the Holy Spirit, is addressing this very type of thing, of course, on a much grander scale, when it comes to our faith and how the faith, the precious gospel of Christ, is passed on among us. During Martin Luther's studies in the Holy Scriptures, he began to realize that many who had handed on the faith to him had dropped the baton. And he went back and searched into the ancient fathers in the early church to find the right places to see how that gospel had been passed along. Unlike a meaningless cardboard or wooden baton that ultimately earns someone a meaningless trophy, what's at stake for us is everlasting life in heaven. This is of the highest importance and of the highest value. God is talking about the transfer of this precious knowledge that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. As Paul says, there is now, because of Christ, there is now, therefore, no condemnation, no going to hell for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul also says to the Romans, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have now gained access into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's what we possess. That's what's been handed us through this precious transfer of the faith to us in this generation. But God is warning us in our text that there will be relentless challenges against us to drop this baton. Satan is very wise. He knows his theology well. He knows and understands that the one thing that can keep you away from him eternally is Christ and his doctrine and his teachings. He doesn't have to spend his time trying to manipulate and corrupt the already false religions of the world, but the one truth that can save, the one truth that can bring someone through the gates of paradise, this is where he has to spend his time, his energy, and his attacks. And the text implies for us that we are potentially vulnerable, partly because of our own weak, sinful flesh. We are vulnerable to being carried away by the errors that he would bring upon us. In order for an error to be attractive to a believer in Christ, it has to contain some truth. It has to have something in it that looks like it's worth going after. Just tempting us with atheism or to go bow down to an idol is probably not going to lure anybody away. But to take something that's in our faith and to just slightly twist it, or maybe to get one generation to absorb something that might potentially cause not necessarily them, but their children or grandchildren to fall away, these are the types of attacks that often come into the church. You can go on a variety of college campuses in the United States where they started out with a very biblically based Christian institution. There are statues on those campuses to the great theologians that often started them. And yet, sad to say, many of those very men who are immortalized in stone could no longer today come back and teach the very doctrine that founded those colleges. What a sad statement. What happened? Who dropped the baton? How did it happen? How did that transfer from one generation to the next, that is so vital and so delicate, get messed up? The writings of our church fathers, the confessions of our church, must not simply become historical documents before us, but they must always be living and breathing organs for the church. God in our text instructs us as to how to properly catch the baton, if you will, how to properly make this transfer. He says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life," and the way some translations have it, "and imitate their faith." That's interesting, to imitate their faith. The word literally means to mimic it. God doesn't merely call upon us to remember our leaders. Even an atheist can do that. But he calls upon us not just to remember them, but to imitate them, to study them, just like an impersonator has to study the one he's going to try to mimic. Study them. Learn how they did their theology. Learn how they looked at Scripture, how they applied it to their daily life, how they preached it, how they taught it, how they confessed it, how it became their very soul and essence of them in this world as children of Christ. The faith that God has blessed us with does not change because his eternal Christ does not change. Listen to Luther's commentary on this text. "It is now and in eternity the same Christ through whom and through whom alone all believers in the past, in the present, and in the future time are delivered from the law, justified, and saved." We have been so blessed to receive the baton in our day. May we always keep in mind the eternal consequences of passing this on to the next generation. We have so much to appreciate in our heritage, and yet we have to be careful not to get so full of ourselves to imagine we could never lose this. Many others have fallen to that in the past. That kind of pride will lead to our downfall. Finally, the judge of our work and the worth of this great cause that goes on in the world is not the eye of man, and it is not some amounting of great numbers, but it is the very risen Christ who has given his life to give us eternal life. And on the last day, he will not ask us how many we are, but how faithful we have been. And as we look forward to that day, we look forward to hearing his great words, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." Amen.